Hope you can hear me good enough. I got, I think a bird filled my ear with a bunch of doo-doo and I can't hear very good. I don't know. Trying to knock some sense in here, but I can't get any. Isaiah 26. Okay, guess who made this statement? He said this back in 2006, the last time there was some debt crisis. This statement is, the fact that we are here today to debate raising America's debt limit is a sign of leadership failure. That was said in 2006, of course, under George Bush administration. This individual said, we're in this debate, raising America's debt limit is a sign of leadership failure. It is a sign that the U.S. government cannot pay its own bills. It is a sign that we now depend on ongoing financial assistance from foreign countries to finance our government's reckless fiscal policies. Increasing America's debt weakens us domestically and internationally. Leadership means that the buck stops here. Instead, Washington is shifting the burden of bad choices today on the backs of our children and grandchildren. America has a debt problem and a failure of leadership. Americans deserve better. Guess who said that? Senator Barack Obama said that, March 2006. What a clown. Right now the debt is $14 trillion. That's $460,000 for everybody sitting in this room. And the U.S. unfunded liabilities, what we owe, you know, and everything involves $114 trillion. That's $1 million for everybody sitting in this room. So ain't that something? The old Bible's true. The love of money is the root of all evil. It goes right back to that source. Okay, we're in Isaiah 26, and let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand this book. We cannot, unless you open our eyes and open our ears. I wouldn't mind if you opened one of mine right now. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand your words, help us to rightly divide these words, help us to know the truth of them, help us to believe what you want us to believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Isaiah is a Bible inside the Bible. It's got 66 chapters, just like the Bible has 66 books. We started coming through Isaiah 26. Notice the number 26, 2 times 13, and that is something you kind of reckon in the Bible. This is a song of praise. You can see right off the bat, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. Okay, this is a song. Okay, and usually people sing about some great miracle or victory that they receive. Now, it says this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Okay, when you read that, the doctrinal basis is going to hint at the second coming of Christ. So if that's true, as we read down through chapter 26, we're going to find some things about the tribulation and the second coming of Christ. Okay, in verse 3, he says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. Okay, on our currency in our country, it says in God we trust, but our country don't trust God. Okay, that's obvious. Okay, he's singing here about somebody that's going to be brought low. Just a little review here. Verse 5, somebody, some city, lofty city is going to be brought down. It's going to be blown off the map. Okay, historically or prophetically, Revelation 17, we know that to be the Vatican City. Okay, things are going to be falling apart. Okay, I think we're about down to verse 10, so we'll pick it up there. Verse 10, it says, let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Okay, let favor be showed to the wicked. Okay, if you look at religions throughout the world, the religions that are flourishing will not be Bible-believing Christians. The religions that are flourishing throughout this world, meaning numbers of people. will be the Muslim faith. They got a 1.5 billion, and they are fast expanding because the Muslims are producing on the average 8 children per family. That's with one dad and 4 women and 4 mother-in-laws. Okay, and so then the Catholic faith, you know, got about 1 billion there. The Hindus, the Buddhists, you got about 1.5 billion there. The Satanists, they don't really have a number they would attach to their following, kind of fragmented, but they are obviously on the rise. Wicca is obviously on the rise. With Harry Potter and company and Rowling, the first author to bring in $1 billion worth of sales, they're definitely on the rise. And if you travel around this country and find Bible-believing churches, Bible-believing, King James Bible-believing churches, most of them will have less people sitting in the pews than what we got tonight. Okay, and they'd be lucky to get 20 or 30 there. Okay, and that's a sign of the times. Okay, it used to be the churches in the 1700s, the beginning of this country, the Bible-believing churches were packed out. They had them, and in fact, when they arrested the preachers and threw them in jail, the people would go to the jail and ask the guy to preach to them. And then the jailers would beat them up, and then they'd put boards on the jail's windows so they couldn't look out, and then the people would still come. James Madison was a kid that would hold his dad's hand when they brought him to the jail. Okay, and then, this had been in the early 1700s, and then they would still preach at him, and eventually, preachers were given liberty, free exercise of religion. Patrick Henry would help bail them out of jail, defend them in court, and things like that. That's how our country began. Obviously, we can see it's not that way now. Okay, in verse 10, let favor be showed to the wicked. Okay, the media. Okay, the movie industry, multi-billion-dollar industry, run by wicked people. The international banking cartel, okay, running and controlling the entire monetary policy throughout the world. Okay, money is not an issue with these people, it's with power. God is allowing the New World Order to become up to a great, to conquer the world, the devil and company, because the Lord wants to get them all together so he can strike one match and torch them all at once. The wicked are being favored. Okay, verse 10. Let the wicked be showed, let favor be showed to the wicked, but you see, he will not learn righteousness. It's a matter of the heart. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. This is where Americans are at. They will not behold the majesty of Jesus Christ. You can talk about the Dalai Lama, you could talk about Allah in the public schools, but you can't talk about Jesus Christ. And in fact, the schools have been expelling any child, any young person who witnesses to other people about Jesus Christ. They are kicking them out of school. I can give you case after case. You could talk about Allah, you can talk about Buddha, Muhammad, and all these things, but you cannot talk about Jesus Christ, except if you want to use him as a cuss word. That's acceptable. Okay, that's the day we're living in. Verse 11, it says, Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see. They're not going to see the Lord building this up so he could make a fair showing of himself. But they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Okay, be ashamed for their envy. Historically and doctrinally, the there would be the people who hate the Jewish righteous. The envy there, if you run to Ezekiel, let's see if I got it, Ezekiel, letter L, Ezekiel 35. Yeah, good enough. That is the general attitude of the Muslim faith toward the Jewish people. That's not the Muslim extremists. That is the Muslims as a body of people that are being taught that Jews are pigs, that they evolved from pigs, that they don't have a soul. That's what they're teaching this in the Muslim schools. Okay, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. The people, the Jews. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Verse 12, Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us. In the context, the us would be the Jewish remnant. For thou also hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord, our God, notice, O Lord, our God, plural pronoun, as in our Father which art in heaven. Other lords beside thee have had dominion over us. Other lords, lowercase l. Okay, other lords have had dominion over us. Right now, the ones that have dominion over the Jewish country is the United Nations. And the occupied areas where the Muslims run that. He says, but unto thee only will we make mention of thy name. Okay, that's not today. Jews do not mention the name of Jesus Christ today. Okay, but in the tribulation time period, when 666 is used to control people economically, which is ready to go, everything's ready to go, everything's set up, ready to go. Okay, when the currency is debased totally, and then they just have units as far as running a cashless society. Okay, all that's set up, ready to go. He says, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. During that time period where the Jews will start paying attention to God. Verse 14, they are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them. The them and the they in this context will be the ones who hate the Jews in the trib. And made all their memory to perish. Okay, this idea of the memory of the wicked. Okay, when you look at the what names people name their children, they do not choose the names of somebody who has a bad reputation or somebody who's wicked. Judas Iscariot. You don't find people naming their kids that. Benedict Arnold. In America culture, Benedict, that would be a bad name. In Europe, it's not. Okay, so you have names like this that are falling out of good graces of people. So, verse 15, thou hast increased the nation. Okay, the nation in particular, Old Testament doctrine, Israel. O Lord, thou hast increased the nation, thou art glorified, thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth, where Jews are scattered throughout the world. Lord, in trouble. Okay, now that right there, as you read through your Bible, you'll find certain hints. If what I'm saying is correct on this passage about being a tribulation, second coming passage, you'll find clues here and there. Verse 16 is one of those clues. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. In trouble. That's known to be Jacob's trouble. Okay, where, I don't know, what he got, 20 million Jewish people throughout the world now? I don't know, 6 million in America, 6 million in Israel. I don't really can't know the numbers, but where they're going to be brought down to about 10,000 people within 7 years. If the Bible's true, and if all the deaths that's going to be taking place, okay, there's a movie published, you know, or went out 2012 thing, that's going to be a Sunday school picnic compared to the tribulation. Adolf Hitler is going to make the Antichrist look like, you know, the Antichrist is going to make Adolf Hitler look like a Sunday school picnic. Okay, he's responsible for the deaths of 22 million people, Stalin, 50 million people. The Antichrist is going to be responsible for the deaths of half the world population. Uh-huh. I've heard that. I don't buy into that. Because there's been several people that's died since then and the Lord hadn't come back. I don't... Yeah. That's the Matthew 24 passage, and that's kind of a stretcher. Yeah. Kind of a hard one to figure out, that one totally out. I've heard that, though, yes. So the Antichrist is going to be responsible for the death of half the world population. Now, if the Illuminati and the ones who established the Georgia Guidestones down in Georgia, you know, America's Stonehenge, get their way, they want to take world population down to 500 million. I don't think we would be in that population figure. Okay? We're not in that mix. That's reserved for people like Ted Turner and the big dogs. Okay, now that's down in Georgia. That's what it says. It says right on them stones to get world population down to 500 million. So somebody's got some evil plans. Whether God allows them to do it, that's the Lord's business. Okay, and all I would ask to say, if that's the Lord's business and that's what the Lord's going to do, I hope he makes it quick, you know, rather than a slow thing in prison. Okay, so verse 16, it says, Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. This chastening is chastening of the nation of Israel, because 2,000 years ago they said about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, let his blood be upon us and our children. That chastening, a good cross reference is Hebrews 12. That's about God chastening Israel. Verse 17, like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in sight, O Lord. That is always an illustration of the second coming of Christ. Israel being reborn. It's a pain process. You should see John 16, do I got that? John 16, verse 16 to 21. Okay, that shows the parallel of the rebirth of the nation of Israel. It's being born again as a nation, so it's like being delivered, like the birth process. Verse 18, we have been with child, we Israel. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. This is the resurrection of somebody. If the context is the second coming, which or the tribulation time period, the resurrecting of these people would be the resurrection of people who were beheaded in the tribulation time period. They're going to rise again, verse 19. He says, awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. Somebody's dead. And thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers. Shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself as it were for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed, the indignant anger of God. God has put up with man for a long time. Okay, when you hear somebody mock Jesus Christ, or if a kid goes to a state college, Purdue or Indiana State or Ball State, and they hear the college professors in the evolutionary theory mock the Bible, which they do habitually, make fun of God, God hears every bit of that. And when you hear something like that, you get frustrated maybe, you get upset for God. You can if you want. I would just look at him and laugh and say, hey, pal, it's your funeral, not mine. If you want to make fun of God, it's your free choice. Go ahead and do it. My God can take care of himself, and he will. You won't say that when you're standing in front of him. You can mock him while you're here, but when you're standing or floating in the air in front of that God, you're not going to open up your mouth, smart off to him. And if you do, he'll just say, go to hell, right on the spot, and that'll happen. Okay, this hiding. Okay, now let's look at this resurrection of somebody. Go to the end of your Bible where the resurrection takes place, Revelation chapter 20. Somebody in the tribulation is going to be martyred. They're going to be killed. And they're going to have their head cut off. Now, is it a coincidence that there's one faith, there's one religion in the world that likes to cut people's heads off? and that's the Muslim faith. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived, there's the resurrection, they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were fulfilled. This is the first resurrection. So they get resurrected. Probably something like Job's 10 children that got resurrected after they died. And then it seems like he had 10 more. So it seems like he ended up with 20. Okay, Isaiah 26, verse 20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers. It's a calling up like a post-tribulation rapture. Shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignant, God's anger, be overpassed, the wrath of God. That's what Revelation is all about. Okay, anybody that reads your Bible, you see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There are four books at the beginning of the New Testament that give four different viewpoints of Jesus Christ to be the Savior. Okay, that's God's side of, that's God's love side. When a person rejects Jesus Christ to be their Savior, the other side of God they're going to see is the hatred of God, His anger. That's Revelation. The last book in the Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ, but it's revealing His hatred side, His anger. Revelation 6, verse 16 to 17, the wrath of the Lamb has come. The first time Jesus Christ came, the animal that portrayed Him was a lamb. The second time He comes back, the animal that's going to portray Him is a lion. So that's the second coming. Okay, that's what Revelation's writing about. That's what Isaiah chapter 26, verse 20 is talking about. The indignation is overpassed. It's done. He's expressed His anger. Israel's going to be reborn as a nation. The earth gets born again. It reverts back to Garden of Eden days. Okay, and then you and I have an opportunity to serve with Christ at that time. Verse 21, it says, for behold, the Lord cometh. Second coming. This is a second coming to earth. The Lord cometh out of His place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. They've been killing God's people for a long time. They've been killing the Jews during this tribulation time period. The earth also shall disclose her blood. What's that? Okay, if the Bible's true on these things, when somebody murders somebody, they shed their blood and it's spilled on the ground. If the murderer is not brought to justice, the blood is continuing to cry up. Okay, and of course, we don't realize that what took place. You buy a house. You buy some property. You and I don't know what took place in that property the last 6,000 years. What took place in that property? You don't know. Was it a burial ground? Was it a place where somebody killed somebody habitually on that ground? And this is why you can go to certain locations in the world, and if you're in tune to the spirits, you can sense something's going on here. And this is why sometimes when people buy a piece of property, they lose their spiritual drive. Possibly something took place on that ground is crying out about the blood. It's a stronghold for Satan. And if a person doesn't cleanse it, then you can be affected by it. You can cleanse it by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, if you go to certain places and if you feel these things, I know we're not supposed to live by feeling, but you could sense these spirits. Several years ago, we took some young people down to Garland, Texas, down in that area, and we were driving a bus. I was driving a bus going down to I-25 in Colorado Springs, you know, go down to Pueblo, and I got down to the border down by New Mexico. There's a little town down there called Trinidad. When I drove through that town, I don't know what it was, but I could sense something weird in that town. I had no idea, and I don't know why the thing came over me. And I just kept course driving. But I sensed something in that town very strange. You'll sense the same thing in Bourbon Street, New Orleans. San Francisco is another place. Well, I didn't know about it, but a few years later, I discovered that Trinidad was the sex change capital of the world at that time. 3 sex changes a week. There's a Catholic priest and a nun that helps these people, these things, psychologically to change from it to it. Okay? And that's demonic. Now, if you go to Colorado Springs, if you go to the town next to it, Manitou Springs, Manitou, the god Manitou, that's where the Indians used to worship the god Manitou. That is a location of the largest Satanist church in America. Anybody in the police are involved with Satanism. Anybody that's a mayor is a Satanist. They may not come out and say it, but it's there. It's understood. Karen lived, KK lived in Manitou Springs in what they called the castle. And when she rented the house, you know, somebody, the landlord said, "Are you one of those Satanists?" "No, I'm not one of those." But she would tell you about experiences in that house. You know, weird stuff. And so we don't know what goes on our property before. So you can cleanse it by the power of Jesus Christ. The ground cries up from innocent blood. That's what he's talking about there in verse 21. The earth also shall disclose her blood. Clear back when Cain killed Abel. The only way the ground is cleansed is by shedding the blood of the murderer. You know, go through trial and everything. Or, when that's not done, that's not capable, then we could cleanse it by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, that's what he's aiming at there. I got the cross-reference to Numbers 35 in Revelation 18 to help back that up. Verse 21, finish of that verse, "And shall no more cover her slain." Okay, the earth like covering it up. Cover up, they say. Notice that, a cover up. You know, of all the people that were found dead, you know, by government people, you know, by who knows? This has gone back years and years. Okay, 911, you know, a cover up there, all this stuff. You know, JFK and everything. You know, the Lord's gonna reveal all this stuff. Okay, we're just going to touch real quick on Isaiah 27, verse 1. Notice there's a key word in that. If you look in there, anybody that reads the verse and believes what it says knows who he's talking about. In that day, second coming, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent. He shall slay the dragon that's in the sea. Anybody, any sixth grader that reads that and believes that know who Leviathan is. He knows who it is. If you believe what it says, Leviathan is a serpent, is a dragon. What's the guess? If you write all the Christian colleges, they don't know who it is. Leviathan. This word is found 5 times in the Bible. If you write all the Christian colleges and show them that verse, they'll tell you Leviathan is a whale, could be a whale, could be a hippopotamus, could be an elephant, could be a bug. How do they miss that? This is the amazing thing about the God of this Bible. The God who wrote this book can allow highly educated people to read it, but they don't get it. He hides it from them. Their eyes go across the pages, goes across the words, but it don't sink in. And you can write the seminaries, Dallas Theological Seminary, Philadelphia College of the Bible, and ask them who or what Leviathan is, and you will get all these different answers, and you will not get the answer, "That's the devil." You won't get that because they don't know. They're blinded to it. They don't want to believe what the Bible says. That's how Satan appears in his natural state as a reptile, a walking reptile bigger than the little green guy that represents Geico Insurance Company. That is just a little replica. Okay, and you'll find that Satan will leave his mark almost everywhere he goes. You'll see it in advertisements all across the world. He gets glory any way he can get it. Now, I find it interesting, the heavy metal rock groups, they know who Leviathan is. I remember reading the lyrics of some one of these things, and I didn't never listen to music, but I read the lyrics, and they know who Leviathan is, but the Christian professors don't know who Leviathan is. They don't know their enemy. Now, if Satan showed up in this room right now, walked in this room, people mistakenly think that he's going to have two horns, you know, and a fork, you know, and a, you know, funny-looking feet. If Satan walked in that door right now, he would appear to be a 33-year-old man, young fella, probably like two little Mormon boys riding a bicycle. That's how he would appear. Ladies, he would probably be the most handsome man you'd ever seen, outside of your husband, of course. Okay, but that's how he'd appear. Okay, because that's what the Bible says. He appears as an angel of light. All angels in the Bible are men. And people don't under, they don't, Christians, they really don't understand the power that he has. They don't understand that he is the most likely candidate to counterfeit Jesus Christ better than anybody. If he showed up, people would think he'd be Christ. It's strange. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on the earth and had his ministry, do you know what the religious crowd called him? They called him Beelzebub. They called him the devil. When the Antichrist shows up, the religious crowd is going to call him the Messiah. They get it cattywampus. Okay? And that's the sad thing. But you see, that's what the Bible tells us about. And God does that for a specific reason. In fact, Sunday I plan on preaching that. Why does God allow that to happen? This is God's way of discovering who really wants to know him. He'll put the truth there, the error side by side. They almost can't tell them apart, but somebody who's a fanatic about the words of God gets it figured out. Okay, and that's who God is interested in. God has done this for a long, long time. This word Leviathan, this is the word Leviathan in chapter 27, verse 1, that's found twice there. And it's found in Job 41, verse 1, Psalm 104, 26, and then Psalm 74, 14. We might run through those, but anybody that reads that sees that that is his natural state. That's what he looks like naturally. But he's not going to show up that way because it would be too shocking. We'd pass out if we saw him that way. So when he shows up, when he makes an appearance, he'll make an appearance as a tall, very intelligent being from another planet that will walk around masquerading as a man. And I dare say we have a bunch of them walking around masquerading as world leaders and political figures, appearing to be men, but in natural state, they're actually, shall we say, reptilians. Okay, the Bible calls this transforming. Satan transforms himself as an angel of light. In the dark world, that's called shape-shifting. Okay, where they can shift into a different being appearing that way. Okay, and of course, you know, the Bible talks about these things, but Christians talk about these, don't count on it. You're not going to hear this on, you know, TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network. You're not going to hear, you know, from the big guy down in San Antonio, Texas, whatever the guy's name is. I forget the guy's name. You're not going to hear it from these guys. Okay, the only way you're going to hear it is from this old book. Okay, we'll stop there, chapter 27, verse 1. Any questions or comments when we covered? It's about quarter till.